Still to come today, Hill Notes at 9:20 or thereabouts. So leave a voice note on any topic now on the Odyssey app. And that is yet another way that you can consume this radio show if you can't listen on the radio for whatever the reason, or you just prefer the convenience of the app right there on your phone. Download the Odyssey app and you can listen to us from wherever you are. Whenever you would like. So you can listen at noon or at night, whenever, on the Odyssey app. And you can also watch this show on YouTube or on Twitch. And this show on Twitch is presented every day by Springer's Jewelers. And if you're looking for a diamond, then go see my friends and fellow listeners of this show, the team at Springer's in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they will teach you how to buy a diamond. But back to the... Oh, wait a minute. Jay from Groton needs an emergency douche move ruling. Do we have time for that before we get back to the news?
Always.
Always we do? All right. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Jay?
So I really need some help on this one. Me and my old lady, we got into a little bit of a fight over it, but long story short of it, we decided to go out for dinner on Friday night. We don't get out too much.
All right.
We went to a chain. It's a chain that I love. I love the particular appetizer in which they came back and tell me that they don't have.
Was it the Bloomin' Onion?
Oh, I love that one.
No, it was the popover, the jalapeno popper.
Oh, yeah.
With the extra ranch dressing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they were out. Is that the problem?
No, the problem is they came back, they tell me that, I get over that, but then they decide to come out and start vacuuming around me in the living room because it was towards the end of the night.
You mean dining
And it's
room.
Like, if I want to stay home,
yeah,
I can stay home and watch a vacuum cleaner go by me.
Well, what time was it?
This was about 8:45 at night.
Yeah, that seems like, it seems a little early to, be, vacuuming,
too early.
To be vacuuming the place up.
Did you
spill something, or I mean, was there a child nearby that may have? I mean, speaking of child,
one of them did about four laps prior to the vacuum cleaning.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it would bother me if somebody were vacuuming.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
I don't know, Curtis, where do you stand on this?
I want to know where it was.
First of all, probably the worst appetizer in the history of appetizers is a jalapeno popper.
You shut your mouth. Jalapeno poppers are delightful.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Not a fan at all. It sounds like Jay may have been a loiterer or a lingerer. And I am fully in support of the company doing whatever they could to encourage the gentleman who probably was overstaying his welcome. I would also say, though, it is a douche move if you are in the process of cooking and your spouse or other people are cleaning up as you're cooking. Like, if you want to come in and you think I'm making a mess when I'm done, go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the process of making dinner and someone is following behind you, like maybe my father-in-law, like cleaning up the granite as you're doing it.
Yeah.
Total douche.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the few things in life I get furious with my fiance about is she's just constantly in the kitchen while I'm trying to cook. And every time I turn, you bump into somebody. I'm like, can you just like wait 10 minutes until we're done in here?
There'll be plenty to clean if you want when I'm done.
She's probably like, well, you shouldn't be in here cooking. Because we've all
that's also that's what you
potatoes.
Said. That's what you said on hole one at Granite. Watch me cook. And it didn't really.
That is true.
It didn't work out so well.
No,
it didn't really happen.
I actually think it was like hole three. Like it was
where he said,
"Yeah,
watch me
he
cook.
had two bad holes," and then he said, "You know, watch me cook."
And then he chucked his driver at my head.
Well, at least I didn't totally just back out of a match or anything. I at least stepped up and did it.
I never really challenged you to it. I just was making a comparison of how I played and how you played.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a pretty direct shot.
You guys made it a challenge while I was not here, which is fine.
What did you posted from Ireland? And what did your post say? As if we need to go over this all again.
Bad news, only made it through 9 because of the weather. Good news, played better than Shine.
Correct. That sounds like a challenge to me. Does that not?
Sounds like a direct shot at me, that's for sure.
It was a direct shot.
But
I mean,
not a challenge.
What if we did this? BC versus Greg and Shine.
Ooh.
Oh, you expect Greg to carry me?
I mean,
well, you have to.
He's going to need more sessions with Trainer Dan.
It's not even worth it.
Okay. All right. It is, by the way, National Chicken Wing Day. Since you bought up appetizers. Yes, there are deals.
You have my attention.
There are deals. All the national places are doing deals today. So you can take advantage of that, Wiggy. And I don't. Where do you say the best ones are here? Do you say Buffs or where do you say?
No. Fett has some good ones.
Where's that?
That's on Kingston Street, down, kind of like near downtown Crossing. They got some good ones. Ooh, Grace by Nia does a good grilled chicken wing.
Okay.
So, and grilled chicken wings are very, very difficult to do.
There is a new number one fried chicken place in the United States of America. They just announced that. I don't believe we have it around here.
Well, can we guess?
But, yeah.
Is it Bucky's?
Bucky's?
No, where's Bucky's?
I don't know. I just see people posting Bucky's all the time.
Around here?
No. I know it's not here.
No,
that's why.
Raising Cane's?
We have that. Zaxby's?
No, number one in the U.S. and in Canada is now Howlin' Ray's. Have you ever heard of it? Los Angeles-based place, but they have the Yelp just came out with the top 50 best fried chicken places in the U.S., and they are number one, I think, for the first time.
Oh, I guess Fizmas says Bucky's is a gas station. I don't know. I see people eating chicken from it.
Oh.
Bucky's is the giant gas station with the gopher mascot.
I thought it was a chicken.
Bucky's, they have a big store now.
Yeah.
So that's this guy who... his story is really interesting, entrepreneur-wise. He felt like gas station convenience stores sucked, so he went out to create the best one ever, and then built it into a chain. And now they have these giant stores in the South, I believe.
It's like a Wawa's,
Texas, or something.
It's
like
even
that.
Bigger than Wawa. It's almost like the grocery store of convenience stores.
Yeah. All right, anyway, can we get to the rest of today's news?
Of course we can.
Okay.
Shine, let's go to Florida.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of.
Come to Miami.
Florida.
Florida.
Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
So Jason Hughes, a guy in Florida, attacked a golfer on a course in Kissimmee because he was upset with the pace of play. We've heard this story before. This happens quite a bit, I guess, but it doesn't usually result into violence. According to the police report, Hughes had told police that the two playing in front of him were playing very slow. So he told them to hurry up multiple times. And when they did not listen, things turned violent. He attacked one of them. Apparently, it was unprovoked, punching him in the face repeatedly. We can hear from one unnamed golfer on Fox 35 Orlando.
If you're out here trying to be aggressive, you picked the absolute wrong game to choose. You should go do like jujitsu or kung fu or something.
Kung fu. A
few transfusions for that guy that morning.
I don't play golf, but shouldn't there be a specific time that it should take you to play a hole?
Yeah, but I think some people are so hardo when they complain and they cause a scene about pace of play.
Well, Greg, I just have a simple question. Isn't this the job of the ranger to make sure that the pace of play is up to a certain standard? Like multiple golf courses that I have been on, there's a ranger that comes around every once in a while. He'll stop by you. How's it going, guys? What time did you guys tee off? Oh, 9 a.m.? Okay, perfect. You're making good time, and it goes away.
Yeah, but just... relax. Right. There are people that are learning the game that play slow. Like, it drives me nuts when people lose their mind over this.
No,
like,
but I'm the total opposite. If you're taking your time, so let them play through. Who cares?
That's fine.
Exactly.
They should
Curtis.
Do that.
But they don't.
But because they probably don't know.
That's their fault.
Yeah.
I hate feeling rushed. I hate when somebody's on my ass on a golf course. So I'm always the one that's like, please, play through. But people become so douchey about it.
Well, they go 0 to 100, too. Like, this guy easily could have gone up to them and be like, hey, guys, you're playing super slow. Is it okay? Can we just go through? Instead
but maybe
of
the, maybe
unprovokingly
the person then go, let
them
play through. I feel like if you're a slow-playing golfer, then you should find the schedule of the golf course when no one's there and take your ass to go play dirt.
Hard, though, Wiggy. There's very few times nowadays where there's nobody on a golf course.
No, but I mean, like...
because it's so popular.
Play at 8 a.m. I don't know. I feel
Wiggy, it's jam-packed at 8 a.m.
I'm just saying, I feel like the people who play slow are the ones in the wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, some people can't help it. Like there are times if you are playing terribly and you're following your ball back and forth.
Well, guess what? After five shots, pick the ball up and go on to the next hole.
That's the other thing that's annoying is people they look for a ball for 15 minutes and
right.
I was in a match. Of course, I'm going to look for the ball.
But that was the most fraudulent thing ever. That hole on hole five. Like, that thing was in Milton.
Somebody told me it was right over the hill, so I went looking.
No, it was not. And then you dropped on the top of the hill.
Yeah, because the match was over, Greg.
But then you tried to
argue with Greg on the green about how many shots you actually had.
No arguing. I was just asking.
There was some...
No, not about how many I had.
Things
I
were a bit heated at that very end.
Right, and then he missed the putt anyway.
People get defensive.
Best thing was the three shots he took in the sand trap on the hole prior, though.
That was tough. That was real tough.
That's when he threw his club at Curtis.
No, that was a different time.
I still have a hearing with Ken on that.
Oh, sorry. That one was when Curtis dropped to the ground.
I thought he was tickling Curtis's feet in the sand trap.
Yeah.
Double bogey is how many shots like on a like a hole?
Two over.
So if that's four, that means six shots, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So if you can't play a hole with two, like within six shots or two over, you shouldn't be on a golf course wasting everybody's time.
Then nobody's ever going to lose the game. Like, that's not good for the game, really. You know what I mean?
But I mean,
it's kind of ageist to be like, people should be playing fast. I mean, there are some people that it takes them longer to walk the course. There are some courses where you can't get a cart.
Oh, that's my biggest complaint is I think on weekends after 8 a.m., everyone should be forced to have a cart. Everyone. I don't care.
What about the hardos that love to walk?
You have to ride. Pace of play matters. You have to ride. It's one of my biggest. That if I could change one thing, that's what I would institute at every golf course.
Like some courses don't have golf carts.
Yeah,
no,
some,
like, you no, can walk. You
no,
can
people
walk.
Choose
the course.
To walk. People
but there
like,
are
they,
some
they,
courses
like,
that
they enjoy the experience of walking.
No, get the golf cart, man. Let's go. Let's
get their steps in.
But it's honestly, it's so easy when you see people behind you. You just wave your arm and you say, "Go right through."
Yep.
But
wait at the next tee box and just say, "Hey guys, go ahead, play." Right.
Violence is never necessary.
No.
Well.
I think both can be true, Greg.
Yeah. All right, what else?
We have an airline incident of the day.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Flight 209, you're clear to take off.
And now, the latest plane incident.
No, but this guy joined the flying has no airline experience at all. He's a menace to himself and everything else in the air.
Of the day.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
On the Greg Hill Show.
We're going overseas for this one. A female passenger boarding a Ryanair flight from Bulgaria had an absolute meltdown when the flight agents told her she couldn't board the flight because her carry-on was too big. You know how they have those little like baskets when you're boarding and sometimes they'll be like, put your carry-on in that to make sure it's the right size? Yeah. Hers was not fitting.
Okay, sorry. You don't get to fly then.
Well, and it's not even that. They offered her, you can pay Ryanair to, you know, for an oversized piece of carry-on, $75. She refused to do that.
Oh my God, look at her. She's on her knees bawling her eyes out like an entitled human being. Like, stop.
Yeah.
Ryanair is the worst airline in the world.
It is
this discount UK thing. I wouldn't recommend it to my worst enemy.
Well, and Curtis, there's an interesting part with that as well, because Ryanair pays their staff $1.50 per passenger that they stop for having oversized carry-ons.
All right. Well, that's a good thing for the rest of us.
A bit of an incentive.
Well,
don't bring oversized carry-ons.
Honestly,
she's going to jam that thing into the overhead compartment, and nobody else is going to be able to get their luggage in.
Right. Or she's,
like that. Like these people are up there fighting with the thing, trying to jam it in.
Right.
And then they also have a backpack and they have another backpack. Like, stop.
Oh, we've all done it.
No, we haven't. We know how you and Santo fly, taking up all the overheads overheads that are not even under your seat.
Right. I'm like, Santo was told to do that.
Ricky, I have followed your lead ever since you had the lead about checking everything.
Yep.
Flew all over to Hawaii, had like four different checks, four different flights, checked everything.
So easy.
Everybody's boarding the plane. I'm like, I have no rush.
Nope.
Because I can stay out here with James, run around, and then I'll just put my briefcase under the seat in front of me. Didn't need any overhead space.
Hardo move bringing a briefcase on a
well, it's got all of his little TVs and games on it. It's nothing work.
So it's more like a carry bag.
Okay. Right.
And I'm willing to bet you when you got to baggage claim, it wasn't that long of a wait.
Not a problem at all.
Well, that's the thing. You have to wait at the end.
But it's not that long of a wait.
And they have to make sure that they don't lose your luggage. which is a big issue a lot of the time.
But now you get a note from the airline that says your right. bag is on the plane, right. so it removes any of the fear.
That's why my favorite thing to do is I come up with my carry-on, and as soon as they ask for people to check their bag, I do it right there, because then you know they're bringing it right down and putting it in.
Yeah. Hmm. There you go.
And it's free.
All right. What else?
One more story. I know that Wiggy and Shime both saw The Fantastic Four. Both of you loved it.
I did.
Saw it
well,
in theaters.
Shime didn't love it.
You saw it in theaters?
I did.
Shime, you saw it in theaters?
Yeah, of course.
Did you get the Galactus popcorn bucket?
I did not. No. My son did.
So that'll run you $79.95
yep.
for popcorn.
What?
And it just set a Guinness World Record. It is the largest commercially available popcorn container,
yep.
coming in at 20 inches wide, 17.5 inches high, and holding 341 ounces of popcorn.
Did you yeah. finish it during the movie?
No, we didn't get the popcorn. We got it afterwards, just the Galactus head.
Oh.
No popcorn in
Courtney
it.
Courtney would go to this movie just for the popcorn right. in that giant head.
That the giant head, now they're selling on eBay yes. for like $300.
So that's what I was just going to tell you, because they immediately sold out. So yep. you guys got lucky.
Yep.
Right now you could pre-order. It won't ship though till December.
Bingo.
Oh, that thing is cool though.
Yep. And it lights, the eyes light up.
Oh, yeah. they do?
Yeah, they add the eyes light
sick.
Up blue.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, so
If I saw a male holding that popcorn bucket with popcorn in it going into
yeah.
a movie.
Going, yes, I got one.
It would be
sold out. I got the last one.
Yeah.
Biggest ick of all time.
We got it after the movie.
Okay, that's better. Yeah. But if a guy's walking into the movie theater with that enormous thing on his lap.
With the eyes.
Would you sell me that for $50?
It's a lot more than that.
Shime, get out of here.
What do you mean get out of here?
$80 for that?
Yeah. It's a collectible.
Coming from the guy who goes out to dinner all the time.
I know. I don't collect the seafood tower thing.
Well, so you what? Do, some well, people you do like to.
You do collect cholesterol.
Well, if it came in a, if the seafood tower came in a Galactus head, it'd be worth something one day.
I had an unbelievable dinner last night at Mistral. That place is a great restaurant.
Really good.
It's been Where's here that? For, it's, South End.
Oh.
Been here forever. But they have a pizza, like a flatbread, that is filet and mashed potatoes on the flatbread.
Whoa.
I mean,
what are really we that
to die for?
That sounds literally. Amazing.
Yeah,
but you got the mussels, which
and the mussels are. I love the mussels with the bread to dip, yeah. like the toasted bread to dip, and the. I mean, great dinner.
Old Boston reference, Greg, and happy birthday, Lindsay. Yes. Next year, you should do something for it.
well, somebody said I would be all over people.
I did. Yeah.
If it was
Courtney, you would be criticizing her. How many birthday weekends do you need, Courtney?
Well, it was one weekend in Newport.
Right.
And then that was with her friends.
Right.
And then we went to CBI.
Right.
Right.
And then we had dinner last night with Suzo, her mom. So,
right.
I mean, you cover everything.
You have one day of birth. It's not like you have 2 weeks.
You would be coming at me. I agree with Curtis. But at the same time, I said there is never a limit on how many celebrations you should have for a birthday.
Correct. If I'm not mistaken.
And it was a big birthday.
Correct,
so.
Correct. Courtney, didn't you have like a bus for your birthday?
A what?
A party bus or
yes.
something?
Yeah.
Greg mocked that religiously.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say this, right next to Mistral, do you remember the old Bertucci's that had the bocce courts right
yes,
there?
Yes, 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 yes.
What an old staple. But yeah. Mistral's unbelievable. I've been there once. Unbelievable.
It's really, really a great restaurant. So, all right, is that it on the news?
That's it for the news.
Okay. I also need a douche move ruling, which we can get to at 8:30 this morning. I'm just reminded of that. And now here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox dropped the first game against the Twins, 5-4 the final in Minnesota, despite a 3-run fifth inning that showed some life. And then a 4-3 lead in the top of the ninth that was halted by a 90-minute rain delay. Richard Fitz went 4 innings, giving up 2 runs on 4 hits while striking out 2. Here's what Alex Cora had to say about the impact of that rain delay on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Especially where we were bullpen-wise, you know, it got hot before the rain delay and just, you know, Witt is sick, Chappie's down. It was him right there, and not easy to. So, you know, we just turn the page, and we got to be ready for tomorrow.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Another one in Minnesota tonight, 7:40 first pitch with Lucas Giolito getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:40 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. The Patriots went full contact for the first time yesterday. Christian Gonzalez exited the practice with a left leg injury. No update on his status yet, and Jalen Polk is back. It's looking pretty good. Another fully padded practice today at 10:15. And we heard from Deion Sanders yesterday alongside his medical team. Sanders announced that he was diagnosed with bladder cancer earlier this year. He had his bladder removed to become cancer-free, so it seems like he is on the road to recovery. And Subaru summer is finally here. Buckle up for an unforgettable summer and a brand new 2025 Subaru Crosstrek. Buy with 2.9% financing for up to 72 months or lease for just $269 per month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. We'll be right back.
There are now two Major League Baseball players who have been suspended pending a gambling investigation. We were talking about it earlier and about whether or not that is potentially more of a widespread problem in not only in Major League Baseball, I guess in all of sports. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you do about it. There mm-hmm. are you have involved all of the sports wagering platforms in your sport as sponsors. So right. I don't know. I don't know how you handle that. I guess if you see clear cut evidence that a guy is doing something that is affecting the outcome of a game for his own benefit, then you have to do something there. So
what's going to have to happen is that people are going to have to get severe punishments, mm-hmm. and that's going to be what stops others from doing it, because I'm sure that there is people on certain teams that say, like, oh, I do it. It's so easy to get away with. All you need is one on a team. And then other guys are like, oh, well, if he's doing it, like, I'm going to do it, and so on and so forth. I do, though, Wiggy said this at the beginning, because at first I was saying, I bet over 50% of players do this. Mm-hmm. Wiggy had a good point where if you can bet on other sports and you have the itch, do that. It takes somebody who has, like, a serious addiction to then
Addiction. What if you lose money betting on other sports and you know you can win it back betting on your own?
Well, then that means you have a problem, because
no, it just means you lost money.
No. There's a difference between, come on, Curtis. I gamble. There's a difference between losing money and now you're in a hole where you go, I got to bet on myself to get this money back. Like, those are two different things.
But you said, what about the players need to have severe penalties? This is one of the unintended consequences of totally and completely ignoring the Shohei thing, where if they're not going to punish the best player in the history of the sport, potentially,
then I'm going to do it. I'm a pitcher for the Guardians. I'm going
to
do it.
Right. He's making $500 million. I'm making $5 million. I need to get some money. They didn't punish him.
It does seem like if you're doing it, you got to be careful. Like, yeah. I mean, it's obvious.
And what percent, Wiggy, of professional athletes go bankrupt after making ungodly amounts of money?
A lot of them.
So, but not if you have a way to make money back.
But not every one of them gamble.
I didn't say every one of them.
Jonte Porter is banned for life from the NBA, right? There are people we've seen people go bankrupt, and then guess what? You know what they try to do? They try to start selling drugs and end up in jail. We see people that do get gambling and trying to win their money back. But as somebody who, I don't have a gambling addiction, but I do enjoy gambling.
You have the itch.
I have the itch. But if you're in a position where you're betting on yourself and you're willing to throw your career away because you are in a hole, you have a problem. If you know in Major League Baseball and in the NFL, and we talked about this before, I think Sean might have brought it up, where they tell you the first day, and they did it with us, whether, you know, when I played in the NFL, if you bet on the NFL and you get caught, you are going to be banned for life. Every player knows that.
So you would have somebody like Emmanuel Classe banned for life.
No, no, no. I'm saying they let you know that if you get caught gambling on your own sport, that you are going to be banned for life. So you know, as a player, know what the rules are.
But that is the rule in Major League Baseball, and Shohei Ohtani was clearly doing it, and they gave him no penalty whatsoever.
That's what I was saying, that I think that the league needs to start punishing players that are clearly doing this for them to make a change, or else it's going to keep happening.
It has to be a severe punishment.
Yeah, or else it's going to keep happening.
Right.
Right. And I don't know. Of course, gambling can be an addiction. Wiggy's saying it's only if you have a problem. I don't know. Then if 5% of major league athletes have a gambling problem, that's a large amount of your people that are betting on games.
I'm not saying it's not. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is.
Don't you see what Wiggy said? Like, can't you understand what Wiggy's saying, though, that if you just have the itch, then you're going to bet where you can bet, where it's legal for you to bet.
Right.
For you to take the jump and gamble your entire career away, you have to be jumping the ship a bit and having a bit of an issue.
But there are so many people that to make it to the majors in any sport, you are the top 1% of 1% of what you do. And you have not had ramifications for your actions. You've gotten into colleges. You've gotten everything done for you. You're in the big leagues. You're gambling on the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland, and you lose money. And whatever the percentage of that income is, you say, well, I can make it back. And look, they didn't punish Shohei. I can make it back quick and easy. Done deal. Like, it doesn't mean that you have to have this massive addiction.
Well, the Shohei thing, I don't think people are looking at Shohei and going, well, they didn't punish him, so they're not going to punish me.
Why? What,
because Shohei is, first off, Shohei was never, he was never caught gambling or doing anything. That's the first thing we have to say.
He was wiring money to a bookie.
No. His handler, whoever the guy was, that was the guy that was doing it.
No, it was his money. They claimed it was a handler that got into and broke into his bank account to send the money illegally to a bookie.
Well, but it was from his account.
It was from his account.
It was from his account, but it was, Shohei was saying it was the handler that was doing
it. So then somebody was using this guy's phone.
Yeah, the interpreter that was doing it. So I look at that and I go, okay, well, maybe Shohei gets a pat. If it was him, because he's Shohei Ohtani.
He just didn't notice the $15 million gone.
Well, I mean,
but this is
neither did, knows. People neither get did robbed, his financial but, advisor. But people, I mean,
but Courtney, you make it sound like people don't get robbed all the time by their family members and don't realize their money's getting stolen.
But Shohei basically was like, I didn't even realize till all of this came up. I'm sorry, I don't care how rich you are, $15 million, you're going
to
notice.
But that goes to what Curtis is saying. If you're Shohei Ohtani and you have all that money, and you feel the need to be gambling on your own sport,
it's like, you got a problem.
Yes.
Okay, there's a lot of people that have problems.
And that's what I said. If Shohei has a problem, guess what? Shohei's going to get caught gambling because you just can't turn the switch off. Yeah. You can't just go, you know what? I got a problem. I'm like having the itch, you can turn the switch off. But when you are gambling like that, you just can't turn the switch off.
But here's where I'm saying, Wiggy, though. You have Shohei Ohtani, his bank account wiring money to a bookie.
Yes.
So why couldn't the Cleveland pitcher just say,
his interpreter.
Somebody stole my phone and was placing the bets. It's the same exact thing. One's a bank account, one's a phone.
Well, we don't know what the investigation is for the Cleveland pitcher.
So I'll tell you what it is. The investigation is if you're a pitcher in Major League Baseball and you're throwing pitches that look worse than my first pitch at Fenway Park, like this one that you can see on YouTube or on Twitch.
28 times.
Look at that. Whoops. then that means you probably have a problem.
And it was like specifically in 0-0 counts with nobody on base. Yeah.
It's hard to fight that.
Right.
It is hard.
But he probably has a problem.
Yeah,
people are not gambling, and like regular people who don't have an issue, who are willing to throw their careers away and don't have a problem. It just don't happen that way.
But why did so many people gamble as much as you said they did on Blu-ray?
Because that's different, though. That's like, you know, that's like shooting craps on a corner. Like,
no, but you don't have to be putting money on it. You could just play cards.
But Curtis,
you're trying to compare
apples to oranges. You're trying to compare guys on a plane or in a hotel room shooting dice, playing, you know, Blu-ray or Tonka, whatever game that you play on an airplane, betting money to people knowing that if I bet on myself, take overs on this, throw games, that I am going to potentially throw my career away. If you gamble on an airplane, there's no ramifications if the coach comes back there.
Which Gerard Mayo liked to do a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of guys do it. Yeah. I mean, it's like a lot of guys who go play poker. You know, there's like, you're not going to get through. You know, we did it in the league. Guys play poker in the league all the time. Richard Seymour is a huge poker player. But guess what? If you get caught playing poker at somebody's house, you're not going to get suspended or banned from the NFL. But if you bet on yourself through an app or through a bookie, you know that you are going to potentially throw your career away. Yeah. You got to have a problem to do that.
Right, of course. And let's just say it's people who potentially have gambling problems.
Right.
That's a large amount of your populace in Major League Baseball that could be gambling on games.
But all I'm saying is those people that are doing that have problems. It's the same guy who can't stop smoking weed or he can't stop drinking, knowing
that. The Josh Gordon issue.
Yeah, if I continue to do this, there's a chance that I'm going to get kicked out of the NFL and I'm going to lose the chance to make a livelihood playing this sport.
Right.
And they continue to do it because they have a problem.
They do.
Are these texts accurate that Class A was on that website that you can invest in players when we had that guy in there? Is that, I don't remember.
I don't know.
I haven't seen that at all.
What was the name of it?
I forget what the name was.
You might want to go. If you invested, you might want to check and make sure your funds are secure on him.
You might be right, because there was a Guardians player on that list. I mean, he signed a 5-year $20 million deal.
He's closed though. You can't invest currently.
You can't invest currently.
But yeah, he is.
He shorted himself. Wiggy, I just don't
can
know
you
how
get
you
tips from him.
How many baseball players, football players, think they're above rules? Like, it happens in every walk
I
of
know
life
that,
and
but
everything
so,
they do.
So what is the conversation that we're having?
This happens. This is a problem, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, and what I'm telling you is the people that do it have a problem. So you and I agree.
Right. Well, right. I mean, I don't think everybody that gambles, just like everybody that drinks, has a drinking problem or a gambling problem. I don't think you have a gambling problem.
No. But if you gamble on yourself on your own sport, you have a problem.
Also, you don't think a guy who does 17, 18 leg parlays and has never hit one has a problem?
Right. But I don't play.
What are you talking about, Curtis?
Right. Like the amount of money that you guys bet.
Playboy hasn't hit one in a while. Yeah, I got to tell you.
Well, I did hit my UFC one. It's strictly UFC. I'll see what happens come football season.
Did you know there's a guy named Chris Curtis in the UFC? I wake up Saturday mornings to these notifications. I'm terrified about what I said.
Yeah, no, it's not it.
Not
all right. I need a douche move ruling, but can we get it when we come back? We'll take a quick break. Oh, and also, if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, you will win 4 tickets for Fan Expo Boston.
Heck yeah.
Shime, you excited about this?
Yeah, Fan Expo Boston's awesome. They come every year, and it's basically like the Comic-Con here in Boston. You go to the convention center. There's all kinds of different stuff from, you know, superheroes, TV shows, anime, art, and cosplayers, wrestling, everything you could possibly want all in one place. It's kind of a blast.
It is. It's happening the 8th through the 10th of August at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. And limited tickets are still available when you go to fanexpohq.com/fanexpoboston. But if you're caller number 9, we'll get your 4-pack. And we should probably do the Pokemon Savant off again.
Oh, I'd love to.
With a... what do we call that? Nerd off.
Yeah.
So we should probably send Jackson over there to get some audio and do that again.
What would you cosplay as if you had to?
What do you mean?
Well, you got to dress if you had to. If you had to go.
Oh, I'm not into cosplay.
But if you had to.
I'm not. I really,
how about a sports radio guy?
I could do that. Yeah. All right.
Could you cosplay as a seafood tower?
Maybe. All right. We'll be right back. Shime, I am booked for the Zach Brown residency at the Sphere on the 13th of December, by the way. Look at you go. Only 4. I believe Zach Brown is engaged. Is that correct?
To Kendra Scott.
Kendra Scott.
Very short relationship, but when you know, you know.
Wait, is that the girl that was on the Playboy show? That girl?
No. Kendra Scott is a jeweler.
Oh.
She has a jewelry line. She's from Texas.
The Playboy show?
Wasn't
was
that the
reality show? Is
this 1991? Like, what do you
don't know. I just remember that. I thought that was the name. I'm
sorry. Next
Channel
door.
3. It's the breast exam.
She was married to a former NFL player.
Yes, Hank Baskett.
Yes, played for the Colts.
All right. Can we open up the Window World of Boston weather window? Because we are about to be in a heat wave again here. Curtis, what do we got out there?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, Greg, I can feel your perspiration already from here. 83 degrees. Feels like 85 in Boston. Going to go to 96, approaching a real feel of 100. Mm. Perfect beach day if you're so inclined.
Yes. You could get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month from Window World of Boston. So go to windowworldofboston.com. And that reminds me, beach day, and I need a douche move ruling, if we could, please.
And now, another episode of Douche Move.
Ha, what a douche. Okay, where do you stand on essentially owning your spot on the beach? Because there is a woman who's gone viral for complaining about getting out to the beach early and staking your claim and then people sitting in front of you. I think we have some of this audio, Shime, if you could, please.
Does anyone else think that this is obnoxiously rude? That's my chair. You get to the beach, you set up early, unobstructed view, ready for a beautiful day, and within 2 hours, people come feet from where you are set up and set up right in front of you. And to top things off, they turn their music up way louder than yours so the whole beach can hear. I cannot believe this. I could never in a million years do this. Is this rude or not?
Okay.
Oh, public man. Place, lady. What are you doing?
So do you... You really don't own the beach.
No.
How open is the beach, though?
Huh?
Like, how open is the beach? If there's other spots, I agree with this lady.
Well, she doesn't own the beach, though.
Right.
No, but if there's other room, like, you cannot... Like, you can position yourself where you're not right in front of a person if there's plenty of beach area.
But the beach is going to fill up no matter what. So it's like, why does it matter where somebody chooses to put their stuff?
Look, I feel like there's other beach area and she might be right. It's like the
person... She should have gone closer to the water if she doesn't want anybody
in front
of her.
But the tide rolls. It's like the person who parks right next to you when there's 6 other spots wide open and they got to park right next to you. If there's availability for the person in front of them to be like, oh, we'll move so we're not in the line of this, you know, in front of this person. There's plenty of beach area. Then, yeah.
Now, there may be 2 douche move rulings required here because somebody said the loud on the text that the loud music is a douche move.
Can I say this is a double douche? That, yes, it's douchey to set up like that, and it's just as douchey to spend the amount of time it would take to move your spot as it would to make this video. So just move your spot.
She can just move in front of them. They could keep moving in front of each other until they get down to the water's edge.
Right. Yes. Like it's just like you're not a victim. Just get up and move if somebody sat in front of you. You don't own the beach. It's kind of a ding thing to do, but get over it.
The music thing is interesting because, you know, if you're saying it's a public place, can I enjoy my music?
Yeah.
I am one of the people that I am always when I do go to the beach. I am aware of other people. I do have a little speaker that I bring, and I keep it to where I can enjoy my music.
A little speaker.
I do.
You're socially aware, though.
Yes.
Like, you are not somebody who thinks that you can do whatever with people around.
Because that's how people get killed.
Yes.
But I do agree with this.
Are you talking specifically about Hampton or anywhere?
Well, anywhere in general. I mean, Hampton, you know, there's been some shootouts over there. But if there's a lot of beach, Greg, isn't it like common courtesy to like, I always scope it out like.
If somebody is set up in the middle, what I would call the middle of the beach, and I assume that they want to be there and they know that people are going to get in front of them and obstruct their view. Like, you're not entitled to an unobstructed view of the beach.
Absolutely.
Because you're the first person out there
right.
in the morning. Like, give me a break. That's ridiculous, I think.
She should have shown more of the beach and been like, look at this spot they could have went to.
Yes.
You know, but.
That is a weird, weird video to make.
Yeah.
And I would also just add, if you have the option for a pool and a beach, pool over beach.
No.
All day, every day. The amount of effort.
Courtney loves the beach.
I love
walking on the beach. Yeah. Just getting, schlepping the amount of crap you have to the beach, getting the umbrella, the wind knocking it down.
Yeah, but are you, like, you would rather sit at a Hawaiian pool than in a Hawaiian beach?
That overlooks the ocean. Perfect.
That's crazy. Wow. I like salt water, so I would just rather swim in the ocean than in a pool.
If though, especially if it's like, yeah, you know, Caribbean water or Hawaiian water.
It's a lot of work.
Really?
You gotta lug everything down, especially when you have the kids. Right. You gotta lug everything down there.
Right. Base you at the pool, sand, walk to the beach.
Sand is all over everything.
All over everything.
Like sand in your sandwich. Yes, I mean,
is that code?
It's a real problem. Yeah. All right. So douche move, yes, on the loud music. Maybe not so much on sitting in front of somebody. This is Chuck from New Hampshire. Hey, Chuck.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What's up?
I wanted to comment on that woman, the one that, you know, the douche move.
Yeah.
First of all, my wife and I, last year, we had a wonderful time up to York Beach, and what we did is that we left at 5 in the morning. It's a little bit early for a lot of people. We leave at 5, get up to the beach, you know, get next to a restroom because on the same street there was a market, you know, all stuff. And we didn't budge.
Yeah, but
we just left the car there.
Yeah, but were you complaining because somebody sat in front of you?
No, not at all.
I know, okay, all right. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a public beach. Like, relax.
But if there is space, though, go over there. Like, give me a little space. Give me a little breathing room.
But maybe
they
couldn't.
If the beach is packed, though.
Yeah.
If you can top that beach story, 617-779-7937.
But honestly,
Curtis, they got there early. They were right next to the restroom.
I was waiting for them. I didn't know what the end was.
But, Courtney, honestly, the story that Greg just did.
And I've seen plenty of people sitting on a beach, not wearing masks and not social distancing.
The video they put up, it looked like there was a lot of space on the beach where the people could have went elsewhere.
What, remember like when Ken got all bent out of shape because the Southie beaches were full?
Yeah. Yes. He called 311. He was so pissed off.
And then Flynn was saying, no drizzly deliveries to the beach.
I'm so glad I wasn't here for that era.
You missed a fun one.
Yeah.
All right, we will be right back.